So may the words that I say and the words that you hear be a point of navigation for us all as we follow our good shepherd. So I've had the great honor of spending time with sheep. So my family and I lived for about 7 years at a place called Arasha, which is a Christian environmental stewardship organization, and it had a 40-acre farm in South Surrey. And as part of our work, Matt and I, and mostly Matt, took on the task of animal husbandry, which included the raising of sheep. And as I think back over those years at Arasha, for me, some of the most treasured memories were ones around the lambing pen. So moments of holding these newborn lambs, these little leggy, awkward, gentle, vulnerable creatures. And one of the most vivid memories that I have is sitting in the lambing pen in the quiet and stillness of night, watching a newborn lamb work so hard to stand for the first time so that it could nurse from its mother. And then noticing that same lamb over the next few days and weeks and months as it transformed and grew in its freedom of movement, and how it was able to, it learned to run and leap and play and bleat. It grew in its ability to be a sheep. So today's lectionary passage is about Jesus talking about sheep and shepherding. And there's a lot that I could say, but I'm not going to say everything. So, but he does give us some strong images of who it is that he's claiming to be. And at the outset, I think it's important to note that while here Jesus is claiming to be a lot of things, but most particularly I'm focusing on the fact that he's claiming to be the Good Shepherd. Earlier on in John, he is named as the Lamb of God. And so there's something really mysterious and wonderful in holding both of these things together. The image of the Lamb, the meekness and the submissiveness and the gentleness of the Lamb, this sacrificial, leggy little beanpole. And then on the other hand, the power and the authority, the protection and the strength of the shepherd. And I also think it's significant to remember who Jesus was speaking to when he claimed to be the Good Shepherd. So this discussion occurs directly preceding Jesus' rebuke of the Jewish religious authorities. Jesus was rebuking them for being spiritually blind. And because there was no real mention of a transition between those two accounts, I think there's a good chance that he was likely talking to the same audience. So to these Jewish religious authorities. And I'm going to add a little bit of liberty and imagine that there were also some Jewish peasants as well as his disciples and the blind man receiving sight. So what does it mean that Jesus claims to be the Good Shepherd? And how would people have heard this? So firstly, Jesus makes one of his I Am statements, which boldly connected him to the Sovereign Lord, the great I Am. And so he's telling this crowd that he is God and then simultaneously claiming to be a Good Shepherd. And this statement was not the soft, fuzzy, feel-good statement that we might think of today. Shepherds in that time period were unable to fulfill religious duties because they worked 24 hours a day outside of the city in the wilderness. And therefore, they were far from the temple. And because they weren't able to observe these religious duties, they were considered religious outcasts. So they were also uncivilized. They were wild, living out alongside their sheep, facing the elements, the heat of the day and the cold of night, and journeying with their flock through valleys, encountering dangers and beasts. I don't think the aroma of a shepherd would have been one that you or I would have appreciated very much. So here is Jesus talking to a crowd containing many of the religious elite, claiming that he is God, the I Am, and that God happens to have the qualities of a people they can't quite accept, despite the fact that they relied on them for their sacrificial practices. So Jesus, as a good shepherd, is a God on the margins. a God for those who don't otherwise fit or belong, who can't meet the standards of holiness. And aren't we all unable to meet those standards? What a word of comfort for those who find themselves on the outer edges of belonging. What a word of comfort for those who find themselves on the outer edges of belonging. The other thing I think that is noteworthy is that the breeding and caring of sheep was well known to Israelite peasants. Shepherding was a reality that they were very familiar with. And the vocabulary and the definitions for classifying sheep and the whole world of sheep was enormous. So this immense vocabulary connotes the fact that shepherds were one who observed carefully their flock. So the concept of a caring, good shepherd would have brought up to the Israelite peasants not just one who took care of the sheep, but one who noticed. One who observed carefully the qualities and the conditions of his sheep, or her sheep, actually, because shepherds could have been women. This is an image of intimacy and of proximity. In our little adventure in sheep rearing, we kept close eyes on the sheep, on their social behaviors, the way they walked, how much food they were eating, whether they were lying around all the time, how they were breathing. We even examined their poo. The sheep couldn't use their words to articulate what was occurring, and so taking care of these sheep required careful observation. And so what I think Jesus is saying is that he is one who cares deeply for his flock, one who observes the particularities of each individual, one who watches, one who notices. What words of comfort to those who are not seen, to those who are not noticed. What words of comfort to those who are not seen, to those who are not noticed. But then Jesus goes on to further explain what he means by a good shepherd, and he says that a good shepherd is one who lays down his life for the flock. And for us who read this now, we know that Jesus is saying that the way of the good shepherd is the way of the cross. It's the way of the shepherd becoming the sacrificial lamb. It's the way of the great I am becoming the outcast. The way of the good shepherd is the way of the cross. And then eventually the way of resurrection. But what's more, this image of the good shepherd is in direct contrast with the hired hands that he talks about. The hired hands are the ones who will abandon the flock in times of danger, putting self-interest first and rendering the flock as easy prey for wolves. The hired hands are the ones who have been given responsibilities to tend, care, protect, notice, observe, and lead the sheep. And what Jesus is suggesting is that these hired hands are not doing their jobs. And this comment was strikingly similar to what is written in Ezekiel, where God says, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, you who take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." What words of challenge to those hired hands, to those who had been given power and authority, to those who had been entrusted with a flock. What words of challenge to those of us today who find that we have power and authority, to those of us today who have been entrusted with the responsibility to care for a flock. What words of challenge. And whether or not you in your own life context can sense that you have power or authority, these words I don't think should be less challenging. Because the radical thing is this, that Jesus invites us, wants us, summons us to become shepherds. So in the same way that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, became the Lamb of God, we, the people of his flock, his sheep, are given the great honor and the great challenge of becoming his shepherds, of taking on those same qualities of the Good Shepherd and caring for our own flocks. We are given the great honor and the great challenge of becoming like the Good Shepherd. And we are summoned to become wilderness dwellers ourselves, stepping out of the machine of city life, away from the demands of empire, and into the uncharted and wide open spaces of wilderness. We are invited to embark on a new kind of life and are called on to help lead others out into this expansive realm as well. We have the great honor of observing and caring and tending and noticing all those who are in our flock. And when danger approaches, which happens in the wild, when those within our flock are being taken in to be used as sacrifices for profit, we are also summoned to be like the Good Shepherd and lay our lives down for the sake of the flock. So rather than fleeing, we are called to become like living sacrifices. Rather than fleeing, we are called to become like living sacrifices. And I think this begs a question. Who are those in the flock? Well, at the time when Jesus was speaking, the sheep's primary purpose was to be used as a sacrifice in the temple. There were some that became food, some for breeding, but primarily they were sacrifices. And they were, as Jesus loved to point out, sacrifices to empire. So who in our context are the ones being led to the slaughterhouse? I can't help but immediately think of our Indigenous brothers and sisters who have historically been and still are today used as sacrifices to colonialism and capitalism. And I can't help but also remember the role of the church in that sacrificial system either. But on another level, we are all caught up in this system. We're sacrificing our well-beings for the demands of a good life. And some of us are overworking, taking on massive mortgages in order to live in this livable city, spending almost every waking moment online or attached to a device. And let me assure you that these examples are from my own life, and it would be easy to give you more. So how are you caught up in this system? Is another way of life possible for us all? Because in all of this, in all the ways that we're caught up in this system, it not only harms us and leads us towards death, but it wreaks havoc on the whole of creation. The passage in Ezekiel that Jesus alluded to when he talked of the hired hands points this out. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the water, the rest, with your feet? So today is Earth Sunday. So when we talk about sacrifices for empire, the whole of creation has surely suffered. The pastures have been trampled and cleared and cemented, and the waters have been muddied and polluted and filled with garbage and oil. And we lament this. just as we lament all those, our indigenous neighbors, ourselves, and all others who have been and are being sacrificed to this horrible and corrupt system. And so perhaps we might take up the call to become more like our Good Shepherd, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, to accept this bivocation that we're called to, the vocation of becoming the Good Shepherd alongside the vocation of being a sheep. Indeed, we're invited to move interchangeably and continuously between the two. The memory of the little leggy lamb slowly and clumsily working to stand on its own, to feed off its mother, and eventually to slowly be transformed over days, weeks, months into a sheep. Perhaps that can offer us some guidance about how the process of becoming both a sheep and a shepherd may be for us. A little awkward, clumsy, frail at first, and as we slowly learn to stand, we can trust that we will receive nourishment, and we will become more bold, more vocal, more like our Good Shepherd. Amen.